these are particularly, this warfare is against these thoughts. And I see on the outline that we'll get mostly to verse 5 later today. But just to point out what Emil is saying, these terrorist attacks, these enemies that surround us, are thoughts and ideas and presentations of human wisdom that are very, they undermine the foundation of the scriptural truths that we have stood upon. So these are not attacks like, let's say, those in 1 Peter 5 where the roaring lion is coming to attack them. These are attacks that are very sinister, very subtle. We don't notice them because they're mental, they're philosophical, they're things that we discuss in the break room, things that you discuss on the at the sidewalk with your neighbor, things that are going on in the world, the way people evaluate life, the way people decide how life should be lived. These are these thoughts that are all around us. And I'd just like to highlight as we look at verse 4, that the weapons that we use to remove, not just protect ourselves, but to tear down, pull down these castles, these strongholds, those weapons are mighty through God. We mentioned earlier the reference in 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul said, I didn't want your faith to be established in human wisdom. Verse 5, I think, of 1 Corinthians 2, and the next verse or so says, it should not stand in the wisdom of men, but of God. It's not that wisdom is bad. It's not that reasonings are bad. It's not that persuasion is bad. We could find the word persuasion in the book of Acts several times by believers, those who looked at the current circumstances of the city they were in and persuaded those who heard that Jesus was the Christ, let's say, or persuaded, like Paul in Athens, referring to the arts and the historical events of the people of Athens, their own poets, and so on. We don't want to think that sophisticated language is automatically not going to have a spiritual effect. It's whether that sophisticated language is based on the wisdom of men or the wisdom of God. It's not that the simplicity of Christ means that we just say, well, I don't really understand the Bible, but I believe it. So, and then we are done. That's not the way to discuss the truths of the Scriptures. There are reasons to believe the Scriptures. There are worldview implications that make the Christian message a cohesive and useful one to understand the Scriptures. I don't mean we pick Christianity just because it's the best of a list of options. But it is a cohesive way to understand life. So it's not that we are ignoring the way to have conversations with those who have these reasonings, but we cast down reasonings that are not godly. These weapons are mighty through God, and the word God is really the key word in that verse.
I'm just wondering, Steve, if before we look at the result of these things, understanding a little bit about the weaponry that is available to us. Now, I'm going to war, and I'm expecting that the United States is going to put me in a, give me a machine gun, or put me in a tank. If not, I'm not going. I need complete protection. But if you're going to tell me that the weaponry that is here is mighty to the overthrowing of reasonings, I'm going to pull back for a while, because I can't go to war on the basis of reasonings. I need protection. Therefore, we must understand the parallel that the Spirit of God is making here for us. Man looks for guns and ammunition of one sort or another. When God operates, God doesn't operate in the realm of carnal things. He operates from a spiritual level. You remember the examples in the Old Testament? Shamgar had an ox goad and killed how many men? Can't remember the number.
600.
Philistines.
Huh?
Philistines.
The Philistines, yes.
Pictures of the flesh.
Evidences of the flesh, yes. With an ox goad? How is that possible? Gideon takes 300 men and he gives them pitchers and lights. How is that possible? David takes 5 smooth stones, uses one to destroy the Philistine. These are the mighty examples of how God is operating through us in the bringing down of reasonings that lift themselves up against him. This is a mighty victory for us. You know, Emil, you mentioned about the 2 aspects of warfare that we're in. We're in the wilderness. That's a wilderness warfare. We're in the land, a different warfare. But you know, there's also food provided for the 2 atmospheres. There's the manna for the wilderness to enable us to overcome the enemies of the wilderness. And then there is the old corner of the land to enable us to overcome the enemy of Ephesians, who wants to hinder us from accessing the things in the heavenlies. So I just thought that we must understand a little bit, Stephen, about, before we get to the result, what we have in our hand that is mighty, through which God is going to do the pulling down of everything and bringing all things unto the obedience of Christ.
So if we would think of just 2 of these weapons, one would say, foremost, prayer. But the believer today, as Brother Dave is mentioning, is nothing fleshly, tangible, that we hold in our hands physically, but it's a spiritual warfare in which we are engaged. So therefore, for the believer today, one of that mighty weapon that the scripture is speaking of here is prayer. And there are so many strongholds, as we've been saying, in this world today, whether it's the reasoning of men, the philosophy of men, the sinful conduct that bombard us, you know, each day and everywhere. The Apostle Paul, when he entered into Corinth, he says he could, in chapter 2, I think it is, where he says, I want to know nothing about what's among you than Christ and him crucified. Right? So, if we have prayer in the forefront, and the second one I would allude to is the Word of God. In Ephesians, it's mentioned as the sword of the Spirit. And I think with those 2 weapons, we can conquer. Because one, it's the help of the Spirit when we pray in whatever conflict we find ourselves in or we're about to enter in. And then secondly, is God's Word. So if we apply God's word, and I think here is not just a simply thing as, okay, here is the word of God, and it says no, but it's we believe it, and we can give it out, just God's word, not trying to dress it up as we have in Christendom today, but to give God's word as it is, with this, by the power of the Spirit. And of course, our lives engage in prayer, that's when we can see victory. So I think those are 2 of the weapons that we can look at as we go on.
And what we have is, before he opened to us what's in those strongholds, he speaks about just in general, that these armors that we have, these weapons that we have, are able, and I think that, I think it was mentioned and I want to underline it again, it's through God. It is through God. The Lord Jesus said, without me, you cannot do anything. It is through God. It is the ability of realizing that I in myself could not do anything, and I need to be able to attack what the enemy have through God. It is through him. You know, by God, David said in one of the Psalms, I could overcome a troop. It is the ability of having God. And to be on God's side,